Hawaii mugs off on the West Coast. So I'm very excited that they started calling, that they brought our assignments out here. I'm very grateful that our assignments was happy and willing to come this morning to speak to us. And I gave him the year to settle in, to unpack his boxes before I asked him to come down to San Diego. So Baruch Hashem, it was very successful. He had Shabbos at La Jolla, and now he's spending Sunday morning with us. And I said on Shabbos that I think Rabbi Simons is an incredible Talmud Chacham. He's an incredibly interesting person to listen to. He reminds me of how much I've yet to accomplish. So I'm excited that I was able to bring him so I could listen to him, and I'm glad that you've come to listen to him with me. So without further ado, Rabbi Simons.
Okay, thank you very much. It is a pleasure to be here. It's been a year, but I really, saying honestly, I've been waiting a year. I just wasn't invited. But I've been excited to come here for the whole time. I mean, seeing Rabbi Wittenberg back in Yeshiva, we're chaverim all the way back from Smicha. So we learned in the same groups. We saw each other, striving for something more in Talmud Torah. And we talk all the time. We talk through WhatsApp. We're in touch. So to see him from time to time in Los Angeles and to be able to see him here and see what he's doing and hear about what he's doing, it's really a special zechus. The same is true in La Jolla. Spent Shabbos with another friend, another chaver from Yeshiva, Rabbi Wittenberg as well, Rabbi Reich, and it's just amazing to see what they're accomplishing. This is my first year on a job, so if anything, I'm looking at people like Rabbi Wittenberg and seeing what I have yet to accomplish. It's really, really incredible. On that note, when I was asked to speak during this time of year, so I figured the theme would be something Elul, something Tshuva related. So I asked Rabbi Wittenberg what to talk about, and he said that we should talk about something Talmud Torah related. Now, I don't think that was the exclusion of the season of Elul, of Tshuva, of repentance, of coming closer to Hashem before Rosh Hashanah, but that does speak to Rabbi Wittenberg's focus, his intense focus on Talmud Torah, on teaching Torah, on learning Torah. One of the things I'm most impressed by as we talk throughout this year, as I get to be in touch with him through his job, is that he's constantly involved in learning. I'm sure you guys see it also. I probably shouldn't tell you how much he's learning. You wouldn't pay him as much to do his job. But he's so involved in learning. He's staying informed in terms of Torah. He's staying inspired in terms of Torah. I'm sure he's learning with you as well. I'm sure he's giving shirim and he's learning chavrusas with you. And that's an inspiring thing. We have a mitzvah, we have a din, we have a halacha, that there's something called kviyas itim l'torah, that a person has to set time for learning. A person has to have regular, we'll talk about it more, b'li neder and mirtz Hashem in a minute, but a person has to have regular time in their life that they set for learning. Ironically, and again, we'll come back to this, ironically, that's a challenging halacha for a rabbi. Sounds silly, because a rabbi's whole job is ruchnius, is spirituality, is Torah, is teaching Torah, is learning Torah. So you would think it's very simple and it's almost built in to the rabbi's daily schedule to have kviyas itim l'torah, to set time for learning Torah. But the truth is, it's very, very difficult. There's so many things that come up in a rabbi's life, in a rabbi's profession, that make it so difficult to spend any time learning for themselves or for themselves with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's a lot of shirim, and there's a lot of drashas, and there's a lot of Rachman Atzlan funerals, and hopefully brises, and shalom zachas. There are things to do, and oftentimes, scheduling in that private, quiet time for learning becomes difficult. It has to take place at the hours of the morning when people aren't even awake yet, or the hours at night when people are already sleeping. And to see Rabbanim, like Rabbi Wittenberg, and others that exist as well, like him, to have the hasmada, the commitment to be able to be involved in Talmud Torah, even with such a demanding schedule, it's very, very, very inspiring, and it's worthwhile to focus on that theme, because he is someone we can continue to learn from in that way. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, tells us that when a person goes to Shemayim, when they die, and they go to heaven, at the end of their 120 years, we'll call it, but if you want, it could be 150 or 200. There's no reason it has to be limited to 120. However long we live, we should live long, healthy lives. Say amen. Okay, so however long we live, when we go to Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His Malachim, are going to ask us six questions, a series of few questions, to quiz us, to interrogate us on if we lived a life proper, if we lived a life straight and holy. The second question on that list, it's a little bit of a question, why it's the second question, not the first. It's a steer seemingly to a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, the first parak. We'll leave that on the side for now, we'll table that. But one of the first questions, the second one on this list, is Kavata Itim LaTorah. Did you Kavata Itim LaTorah? What does Kavata mean? So Kavata, the Shorish, is Kuf Beis Ayin. Koveya or Kvias means set, regularity, consistency. So basically what the Gemara is saying is that one of the first questions a person's asked when they go to Shemayim is Kavata Itim LaTorah. Did you set times for learning during the day? Did you have times for learning Torah during the day? That's what the second question we're asked, rather, when we get to Shemayim after we've lived a long, full, healthy life. So the poskim quote this halacha lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Cairo, in two places, once in Yerodei and Simen Reish Mem Dalet, and also in Orach Chaim in Simen Kufnun Hei, the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, quotes this halacha, not only that you're going to be asked this at the end of your life, but clearly it implies that what? During your lifetime, you were supposed to have been doing this. You were supposed to have been setting times for learning. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins codifies this halacha that we're supposed to set times for learning during the day, during our lifetime. What does that mean to set times for learning? So this is qualified by the Shulchan Aruch. It's based on a pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua, V'hagisa bo yomam v'layla, that a person is supposed to be involved in learning day and night. Now, the simple interpretation of that pasuk, like when you say someone works day and night, he eats day and night, that's not such a good quality, but he's doing things day and night, usually you mean always, right? Constantly. He's constantly learning. He's constantly eating. He's constantly doing whatever he's doing. Here, it certainly does mean that on one level, but what we're clearly interpreting it as, lahalacha, is v'hagisa bo yomam v'layla, at least once in the morning, at least once during the day, v'layla, and at least once during the evening. So there are two times a day a person has to set, they have to sort of set up a sandwich, a bookends of their day, where they go ahead and have time for Talmud Torah, time for learning. That's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Simen Kufnen Hei Norah Chaim in Simen Reish Mem Dalad in Yoredeya. Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav, used to remark, I never saw this inside, I didn't find this in writing. If someone here comes across it, I'd actually appreciate the Mar Makom. But I initially heard it from my Rebbe, Rav Torsky Shlita, who's a grandson of Rav Soloveitchik, that he heard this from him, and he repeated it, that I've heard it from him a few times. That Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Mishnah Berurah says something similar in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, by the way, but the Rav pointed out that the truth is this idea of Kviyas Itim LaTorah, of setting time for learning Torah, of making sure we have distinct moments in our day, two a day, Yomam V'Layla, daytime and nighttime, that halacha, that din of learning, setting time for learning during the day, it actually applies in a very unique way. You know, we think of it as, I'm going to have a busy day, I'm going to have a busy schedule, and I will make sure that I learn over the course of the day. I'll do better. I'll make sure I learn twice over the course of the day. So that should satisfy the requirement, correct? But the Rav says it doesn't. And the Mishnah Berurah says the same thing. What does it mean? What does Kfiyas Itim LaTorah mean? He says it means you have specific times during the day, twice a day, which you are committed to learning during those times. Meaning, it's not enough to say, I'll get to it at some point over the course of the day to learn twice. Some days it'll be 8 a.m., some days it'll be 9 a.m., some days it'll be 7:30 a.m. The nighttime will sometimes be 6 p.m. or 8:30 p.m. or 10 o'clock. Depends on what my schedule brings. Depends on what the day looks like. I'll make sure I set time twice a day for learning, says the Rav. No, that's not enough. That's not regularity. That's not consistency. That's not the right type of commitment that Kfiyas Itim demands, that setting time for Talmud Torah demands. Why not? So it's such a beautiful mashal. Here's a mashal from my Rebbe, and we'll get back to the Rav's point. Imagine you have a long time friend, someone who's a friend of yours 10, 15 years ago, someone who's a best friend, you're very, very close, and they call you up one day, and they say they don't live in San Diego, they live in New York, and one day they say, they call you on the phone, they say, I'm going to be in San Diego for some meetings, for some business meetings. I'd like to catch up. I mean, we're such close friends. We haven't seen each other in so long. I'm pining to see you. It's been forever. We've got to get together. So you say, great, I'm excited. And you are excited. It's your best friend from your childhood is coming to San Diego. So you say, okay, great, let's meet. So when can we meet? So your friend says, we're going to meet tomorrow. I have time tomorrow. It's just I have meetings all day. Why don't we meet at this restaurant? You come sometime between 12 and 3. You sit there at 12 till 3. I'll come at some point over the course of those 3 hours. I'm not sure exactly which hour I'll be free, but some hour between 12 and 3, I'll meet you at the restaurant. Kind of a buzzkill, right? Not the nicest way of going about things. I mean, you're excited to see each other. He claims he's excited to see you too. And yet he's saying, wait for 3 hours, I'll show up whenever I show up. Is that a relationship builder? Is that a nice way of behaving to friends? Absolutely not. That doesn't build a relationship. It doesn't create warmth and friendship amongst people. You say, I'm ready tomorrow, let's meet at 12. I'll drop everything, we'll meet at 12. And if something comes up, I'll cancel it, because this is our one opportunity in 15 years to see each other. Says the Rav, Talmud Torah, if we think about it as an intellectual pursuit, that learning Torah is just about knowing how to proceed, how to act, how to keep halacha, etc., etc., then whenever you have time, you learn. And twice a day, you make time to learn, etc. But, says the Rav, if Talmud Torah is something more, Talmud Torah is about creating a relationship with Hashem. It's about deepening an intimate personal connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then it's not enough to say, I'll show up when I show up. If I have an hour here, I'll learn then. If I have an hour there, I'll learn then. Says the Rav, no, it's got to be specific times. If it's 7 a.m., it's 7 a.m. every day. If it's 9 p.m., it's 9 p.m. every day. There are set, regular, consistent times that you're committed to that you won't change no matter what comes your way. You're calling your friend, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're saying, I'll be there at this time every day. You can be sure that I'll see you there. That's what Talmud Torah is all about, deepening our relationship, getting to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah through His Torah. And that can only happen We can only build that relationship if the times are set, if we're committed to specific times for learning. Otherwise, it's so wishy-washy, it's so temporary, that it doesn't feel like we're building that that relationship. The truth is, if you start to think in this direction, you see a fascinating nafkamina. Now, I'm not paskening a shaila here, and I'm not saying that this is actually a practical halacha. You have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi for this psak halacha. But there's a very, very interesting notion in the poskim that's worth discussing, at least in theory, at least to understand the idea. The Sefer Shari Tshuva, which is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kufna and Hayin Orach Chaim, the one we mentioned previously. So the Shari Tshuva quotes from an earlier Sefer, the Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef was written by the Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai. So the Chida has a fascinating chiddush, a very, very fascinating chiddush. He says that there's a mitzvah of kviyas itim latorah. There's a din, there's a halacha. They have to set times for learning, correct? We've discussed that until now. If you didn't pick up on that, you missed 10 minutes, but you're right back in it right now, okay? So we're all here. Kviyas itim latorah, setting time for learning every single day. Says the Chida, a fascinating, fascinating novel idea, a chiddush, surprising. He says, let's say you have a guy who's I'm part of a kolah. So a guy's part of a kolah. So he's basically paid, meaning he's not paid all that much. He's basically paid, and his job is to sit and learn from, for us, let's say our schedule is 9 o'clock a.m. till 6 o'clock p.m. You have a break for dinner, you come back from 8 to 9:30. So he's paid to learn for, I don't know, I got to do the math in the hours. I'm not a math guy. I never got my math diploma from high school. Didn't take the Regents Math B. I never got to it. You don't even know what that is, Regents, so forget about it. But however many hours a day that is, 9 hours a day, 10 hours a day, 11 hours a day, whatever the amount of time is, he's paid to learn Torah. Okay. Now, he also has a mitzvah, halacha, a din, that he has to make sure that he's koveya itim latorah. He sets time for learning, correct? So I would think everything's settled here. It's all good. Because he's spending 10 hours a day learning on a pretty set, rigid schedule. You have to be in my base medrash at 9 a.m. in order to get your paycheck. I mean, that's part of your job. So from 9 till 6 p.m., he's learning every single day. That's morning and evening. And when he comes back at 8 o'clock, that's also evening. So he's always got set times every day for learning. Sounds good, right? Kviyas itim latorah. Says the Chida, not so fast. Not so fast. If the person is compensated, if he's salaried to learn specific times a day, that doesn't count as kviyas itim latorah. Isn't that amazing? I never would have guessed this. That doesn't count as kviyas itim latorah. Kviyas itim latorah, setting time for learning, means above and beyond what your job demands of you, you find time twice a day to set to learn Torah. Unbelievable. Now, that is very difficult to understand. You're learning twice a day, more than that a day, with set times. It's a rigid schedule. Why doesn't that work? So let's go back to another mashal, another parable, another analogy that might help us understand this a little bit more deeply. Imagine you have a husband and a wife. So the husband and wife are married for 25 years, and I'm not recommending doing this, but they work together as well. They work together as well. It might work for some people. It doesn't work for other people. I'm just making sure that I'm a chassan teacher, so I don't want to make any public recommendations on something that's not a public rule. But this couple happens to work together. It works great for them. They're fine. They run a shop. I don't know. They sell antiques. So every day they wake up at whatever time they wake up. They drive to work together. They work in the shop all day together from 9 to 5. They come home. They have dinner together. They watch a show together and they go to bed 9 p.m. They wake up the next morning 6 a.m. Every single day it's the same schedule. They literally spend 24 hours a day together. They are never apart. Beautiful. And they get along. Unbelievable. Okay. It's a great marriage. Fine. One night the wife is sitting in bed and she's, you know, honey, we're always working. The shop is so busy. Our schedule is so demanding. Let's go out one night. Saturday night, let's go on a date. Let's go out to a restaurant. Let's have a good time. Let's spend some time with each other in each other's company. And the husband, again, I'm a chassan teacher, so my chassanim would never do this, but the husband says, go out. What a waste of time. We spend 24 hours a day together, 7 days a week, for the past 25 years. Why do we need to go out? We're literally together all day. We have breakfast together. We have lunch together. We have dinner together. We spend all day working together. We go to sleep at night together. I mean, there's no point in the day where we're not together. What do we need a date night for? There's no point. Now, the wife is happy with that response. Nobody has to answer the question. The wife is shocked, confused, if not totally hurt and let down. Why? Because the husband totally missed the point. Yes, you have a job and you work together all day long. Yes, you technically spend time together all day long. My brother-in-law, I have a brother-in-law from my parents' side, meaning my sister's husband. So he's a funny character in general. So he always tells me that he's married to my sister. So he always tells me that he and my sister, they try to spend quality time together, but more than that, they spend a lot of quantity time together. Meaning even if they're both texting, even if they're both sitting on the couch with their backs to each other, he always looks at me and says, this is quantity time. I'm counting the hours here. You know, it counts. So we spend a whole lot of quantity time together. We're together all day long, 24 hours a day. That's absolutely true. But where's the quality in the relationship, she says? Where's the meaning? Where's the depth? Where's the building on the relationship? How are we growing our love and care and concern for each other if we're just working all day, if we're not really deepening that relationship on our own time, going to dinner, going out together, spending time together in just an enjoyable way? Says the Chidah, according to the way we understood from Rav Soloveitchik before, that's what Talmud Torah is all about. It's about deepening that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're a kolel guy. You learn from 9 to 6, from 9 to 10, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. You're learning all day long, but you collect a paycheck for that. That's your job. You're supposed to do that. You have to do that. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you want to deepen this relationship in a more intimate way? You want to make this more personal? It's not enough to work together all day long. We have to make a date night. We have to make a date morning. We have to have two times a day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu and this person is able to sit together and have a chavrusa. He's learning Hashem's Torah, he's deepening his relationship with Hashem, and he's doing it all day long, but there has to be a special time where it's devoted just to the connection, it's devoted just to deepening that relationship. That's what the goal of Talmud Torah is, to deepen that relationship. So says the Chidah, even if you're paid to learn all day long, you need to make more time on top of that. I am really hoping we don't pass on like the Chidah. But the idea comes to the fore very clearly, like the Rav suggested, that Talmud Torah is about this relationship and Kviyas Itim LaTorah, setting the times to learn every single day in a consistent, regular, committed fashion, deepens, enhances that relationship and makes us closer, all the more closer, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The truth is, there are other advantages as well to this concept of Kviyas Itim LaTorah. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in the very end of the first parak, says, Asei Tarascha Keva. Keva, we said before, means regular, consistent, committed constancy. But the truth is that here, keva sort of means set in the sense of complete. It takes over your day. It defines your day. Asei Torah Shel Keva, your main thing, that's the way the Mefarshim explain it, your main thing should be learning, and you work on the side. Can you imagine anyone saying that? What do you do? Full-time I'm in learning, but I work 12 hours a day. What does that mean? No, Asei Torah Shel Keva, you have to make your learning the ikkar, the main staple of your day, and everything else is tafel, everything else is secondary to what your main job is, which is learning. Now, most of us don't have the zchus, or the, we'll call it a zchus for now, of learning in kolel, of being a rav, of being involved in ruchnis and Torah all day long. So what does it mean, Asei Torah Shel Keva, for such a person? So I think you'll find this in the commentaries, but even if you don't, I think the following idea is true. A person can live a life, pay attention to this, a person can live a life in which they do something quantitatively for many hours a day, but it's not what defines them. It's not what defines them. What do you do? I'm a programmer for Google. Or I'm a mother of four children, raising them to be good Jews who are going to be Shomer Shabbos, Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and have a wonderful life. And in order to support that family, I work for Google. Now, it's the same person with a different answer. What defines you? What's the context in which you live all the parts of your life? Says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Asei Torascha Keva. You can't learn all day. You have to work. You have to support yourself. It's a Pirish Gemara in Maseches Brachos. For most people, it doesn't work otherwise. You have to support yourself. You have to have a parnasa. You have to have a job, and it's going to take up many hours of your day. But there's a mindset a person can have in which even though they're working all day, and even though they're trying to support their family, still what defines them, the keva, the definitive nature, the characterization of their life, what is the quality that underlies their life? It's Torah. It's mitzvos. It's their religiosity. Asei Torah Shel Keva, even if it's only going to be 2 hours, even if it's going to be a half hour a day, 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening, an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening, whatever the amount of time is going to be, it can be your keva. It can define your life. You know how? V'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. If a person bookends their day, if they start the day and they end the day with Talmud Torah, when they wake up, the first thing they do is they run to the Beis Medrash, they run to shul and they stay afterwards to learn Daf Yomi. They run to shul and they do a little bit of Shnayim Mikra, they learn a little bit of a Psukim and Chumash from that week's Parsha, they listen to the rabbi's Dvar Halacha, they do something before or after davening, and then they go to work. And then right when they get home from work, they run to Maariv and they listen to a Shir. Or they learn a little bit on their own, or they find the Chavrusa at a night seder program, and they have a way of enhancing their Talmud Torah in that way. But when they do that, they're basically framing their day. They're bookending, they're sandwiching their day in such a way that what defines what's going on in the middle? The sandwich is defined. The bread defines what's in the middle. It's closed in. It's closed in by Talmud Torah on both ends, and the Torah is keva. The Torah is really what defines you. Okay, I have to go to work. I have to do these things. I have to take care of my family, of course, and I believe in it, and I enjoy it even. But I am running to the Beis Medrash, and I'm running to the Beis Medrash in morning and evening, and I'm making sure that the Torah is my keva. The Torah defines, it contextualizes, it frames everything I do. A person can live a life of Torah without being involved in full-time learning if they're careful about this halacha of Kviyas Itim LaTorah. If they make sure to spend time twice a day, the beginning and the end of the day, learning Torah, that will define the rest of their day entirely. there's another perspective which is so creative and so beautiful and so inspiring. It's worth sharing for all of those reasons. The word kvi, as we've said a few times now, means set, consistent, right, regularity in terms of learning. But the truth is you find another definition to the word kvius, or the shoresh, the root of the word kuf vez ayin, koveya, or kava, you find a different definition, a very creative definition, in a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei in Parak Chav Beis says, v'kava kaveihem nefesh. The Vilna Gaon explains, it's based on the Gemara in Bava Kama, that the word kava obviously means to set time, but it also means, kava can mean stealing. V'kava kaveihem nefesh means people who steal nefashos, kidnapping. Kvius can imply stealing. And it's said in the name of the Vilna Gaon. You can find it in certain Sfarim. The Vilna Gaon said that's another way to understand our halacha. We've explained kviyas itim latorah, that you have to be koveya itim latorah multiple times now as setting times during the day. It has to be morning and evening. It has to be even if you're learning other times during the day. That's what we've said until now. Says the Vilna Gaon, there's another taich, there's another read as well. Koveya itim latorah means you have to steal times for learning. You got to find those moments in your day when you didn't think, when you least expected a time for learning. You're sitting on a train, I don't know, on a bus. What are you guys going here? What's the public transportation here? Cars. Everyone does that. I don't even drive. I walk everywhere in Los Angeles. But okay, a car or a trolley. I heard a trolley, okay? You're on a boat, whatever your means of transportation is. You're sitting on your way to work, and you have 5 minutes. You have 10 minutes. You have 30 minutes. I don't know, however long your drive is. And you can sit there staring at the road, or you could listen to some podcast that's going to make you either smarter or dumber, depending on which type of podcast it is. Or you could take those 5 minutes, those 10 minutes, that half hour, and turn on yutorah.org or any other Torah streaming audio website and listen to a shir. And listen to a shir. Maybe Rabbi Wittenberg records his shir, Rabbi Bogopolsky records his shir, I don't know. Whoever you're listening to, you're able to plug in the car. So you've just stolen time for learning. That was time that was lost. That was dead time in the car staring at traffic in front of you. How's the traffic in San Diego? It's terrible where we are. It depends on the time. Okay, so either traffic staring at traffic in front of you or staring at an open road in front of you. Either way, it's wasted time. And now you have an opportunity to turn those wasted, lost moments, that dead space, into Talmud Torah, into learning. Koveya itim latorah on this level means that a person takes opportunities that didn't seem like opportunities and uses them for Talmud Torah. He takes those moments and steals them for Torah. He uses something which was otherwise unusable, which was otherwise wasted time, and learns Torah during those times. Kavata itim la Torah. There's a beautiful story in one of the biographies. There's a biography of the Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitch Rebbe, that is written by Chabad Hasidim, like a real Chabad Hasidim from that generation. So it's seen as the most authentic biography. So in there they tell a story that when the Baal HaTanya was young, he had the tremendous privilege of learning with someone called Rav Avram the Malach. Rav Avram the Malach was clearly a very holy person because they called him Rav Avram the Angel. They never called me Jonah the Malach. I think my parents called me Jonah something else when I was younger. So Jonah the Mazgal maybe. So Rav Avram the Malach was this very holy. He was the son of the Mizrucha Magid. So the Baal HaTanya was an exceptional student, so he was privileged to learn one-on-one with Rav Avram the Malach every day, I think. So he said Rav Avram the Malach was very tired. He was an older man, and he would get tired in the middle of learning. So as they were learning, he would doze off. He would doze off, like a lot of you are doing right now. No, actually, I'm pretty impressed. Everyone's pretty awake. So he would doze off. So the Baal HaTanya would, as the Chavrusa was sleeping, he loved learning so much. He enjoyed learning with the Rav Avram the Malach so much that when he would doze off, when he would go to sleep, the Baal HaTanya, as a kid, would run over to the clock and turn it back an hour. He would turn the clock back an hour. And he would the Malach would wake up and he'd look at the clock and say, okay, we have another hour, and they'd keep learning. And he said he stole so many hours of learning that way. And the Baal HaTanya remarked, Mayim Ginuvim Yuntaku, stolen waters are even sweeter. Those moments that a person steals for learning, when they thought that was dead time, when they thought that was lost time, when they thought they could do nothing with that time, it's so much sweeter, it's so much more beautiful, it's so much more exciting, it's so much more refreshing, which really takes us to the second half of our title, which is that we've spoken about Kviyas Itim, about setting a regular, specific, set time, 2 times a day, to learn Torah. And we spoke about how you have to frame your day in the context of Talmud Torah, and how that will define your entire day. And we spoke about how you're supposed to steal moments during your day in order to focus on Talmud Torah. And that too adds to the steady, steadfast nature of learning in your life. But the second half, I think, of our title was about learning, vitalizing Talmud Torah, revitalizing Talmud Torah, living a vibrant life of Talmud Torah, adding vibrancy to our Talmud Torah. And the problem is that as you make things more consistent, as you make things more routinized, as you get into a routine, as we just said, so a person loses that excitement. a person loses that vibrancy. It's not as refreshing anymore. Adraba, I'd rather find times randomly because it's more exciting. It's more exciting when I have this year that I want to go to and that year I want to go to and next week it'll be a different year. And switching it up all the time, you change it up, that spices it up for us. That makes it more exciting. But this is the first eitzah, the first piece of advice we have towards making the same kviyas, that same set time, more exciting. Steal some set times. Find the time that you're in your car every day. Find the time that you're walking. Find the time that you otherwise have 2 minutes. You've got the worst thing a Jew can do in these days, and it's literally, you feel like you're over an avera when you get to shul accidentally early. Anyone ever experienced this? You're always trying to get there exactly on time. You accidentally get there 2 minutes early. What are you supposed to do for 2 minutes? You're like checking your Fitbit to see if you can take more steps or something. You have no idea what to do with your time. Chas v'shalom, we should put on our tefillin or open up the sitter and start saying karbanos, or by mincha, at least sit down and learn. Take the time to learn. You have 2 minutes. And that's stolen waters, which are sweeter. That will revitalize the learning you do in the morning every day. That will revitalize the learning you do in the evening every day. To show that commitment, that love for Talmud Torah, that when Chas V'Shalom, I show up to something early, I sit down and I open up a Chumash and I learn a few Psukim. I open up the Daf Yomi and try to review what I learned that morning. That will change the nature of our Talmud Torah the rest of the day, in the evening and the morning. So those stolen moments are not only helpful in terms of the Kviyas Itim that you can accomplish, but they're helpful in terms of the sweetness of Mayim Genuvim Yutaku. They make it all the more sweet, all the more beautiful for you, all the more enjoyable for you. They make your Talmud Torah more vibrant, more exciting, and more wonderful. I recently heard a Dvar Torah in the name of Rav Aaron Lopiansky, a very, very beautiful Dvar Torah. We're going to streamline it. We're not going to talk about all the details, but I'll share with you the core of it, and you'll see how applicable it is to what we're talking about. The Psukim in Parashas at the end of Bamidbar, in the beginning of Dvarim, describe how the Jewish people are on the cusp of Eretz Yisrael. They're standing on the precipice of entering Eretz Yisrael, of entering the land of Israel for the first time. And they've just spent, you know, all these years wandering in the desert. They've gone from place to place. They've experienced wars. They've experienced death. They've experienced plagues. They've been through everything. And they're finally getting to that point of getting into Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah describes how Achar HaKosi, after, says Moshe Rabbeinu, after we killed all of the enemies, and now we're standing on the cusp of entering the land of Israel, Ho'el Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah Azos. Moshe Rabbeinu begins to explain, Be'er, to explain, like Liva'er, to explain, he begins to explain the entirety of Torah. Rashi comments that he explained it in 70 languages to all of the people, but he explained Torah for all eternity, and that's what we're in the course of reading right now. These parshios from Dvarim until the end of the Torah are a review session. Moshe Rabbeinu is basically summing up and repeating all of the Torah for us, and he inserts a few Musar Shmuzes as well. So here, Rav Aaron Lopiansky asked, it's a very important introduction. We know, we want to hear that Moshe Rabbeinu is about to give the greatest Ashir of all time, Ashir Klali to everyone. But why do we need to know that it's after we killed our enemies, that it's as we're standing on the cusp of entering Israel? What does that context have to do with the content of what Sefer Dvarim is all about? Why do we have to know that it's Achar HaKosi? It's only after we killed our enemies and are finally entering Eretz Yisrael. At that point specifically, Moshe Rabbeinu chooses to give the Shir Klali. What does one part of the Pasuk, one part of the description have to do with the other? Why is this the right stage? In particular, the Torah demands that it be said this way, that we should know that the Torah was Mivu'ar, that Moshe was Ho'el Be'er Es HaTorah Azos, Ho'el Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah Azos. Why did that have to take place specifically at this point in time, at this juncture? So Rav Lopiansky says such a beautiful thing, such a beautiful thing. He said the entirety of our Jewish history until this point was a lack of kviyas. It was so unstable. It was so wishy-washy. We were all over the place, literally. We were never in one place for a very long time. Ela Masalia B'nai Yisrael, you read about the encampments, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of traveling, there's a lot of moving, there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of death. I mean, we never had a place, we never had a space to ourselves. We've never experienced any sense of kviyas, of stability in our life. That's what the Jewish people were holding at that stage in history. And what does Eretz Yisrael represent? What does killing our enemies right before we enter Eretz Yisrael represent? It's that stability, finally. We're on the cusp of entering into our homeland, which we are going to run, which we are going to own with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we're going to conquer, and we're going to be in charge of, and we're going to live there, we're going to settle there, we're going to dwell there. That is our stability. This is our place. This is our safe zone. We're finally there. And our enemies, we vanquished them. They're gone. It's at that moment, Ho'il Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah Azos, says the Zohar HaKadosh. What does it mean, Be'er? We said before, it means to explain. Moshe Rabbeinu explained. But additionally, the word Be'er, if you do the vocalization a little bit differently, or vocalization, ironically, I'm not sure how to pronounce that one, but if you vocalize it or vocalize it a little bit differently, so you come up not with Be'er, but Be'er. What is a Be'er?
Well.
A well. Correct, a well. Says the Zohar HaKadosh that Moshe Rabbeinu explained the Torah, and it's using the word symbolic of a Be'er, of a wellspring which shoots up water. Rav Lopiansky explained as follows. As we enter Eretz Yisrael, And we get this so needed, so desired, kvius, stability, set nature of living in our land for all eternity, of owning our place, of having our own space. Says the Torah, we need a Torah, be'er, but we need the Torah to be a be'er. We need the Torah to be a mayan, to be a wellspring that shoots up water, that's constantly getting new water, that's constantly revitalizing, it's constantly giving us more vibrancy in our learning. Yes, a person needs to have kvius, a person has to have set times to learn, a person has a set place to live, a stable family, all of those things are necessary, but with stability comes the risk of decay, of stale nature to living, of something which kind of just stops moving, settles, and ends up falling apart at the seams. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at this moment, after you've conquered your enemies, after you're entering Eretz Yisrael, as you start to feel that kvius, that sense of stability, of comfort, of safety set in, it's at that moment that you need to revitalize, re-energize, recommit to Talmud Torah. It's at that moment that you need a Ho'el Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah Azos. Moshe has to explain the Torah to us in such a way that he gives us the Koach HaChidush. He gives us the ability to have novel ideas, have new experiences in learning, find another shir that we enjoy. We need that Koach HaChidush of revitalization, of vibrancy, of refreshing our lives at exactly this point, because when we have the kvius, when we have the regularity to our schedule, that's the moment that we need to be reminded of how exciting it really is, of how beautiful it really is. We need to rejuvenate our Talmud Torah at the moment that it becomes so stable. So on the one hand, yes, kvius itim l'Torah. It has to be that we have stability in our learning. There's a set time for learning every single day, twice a day. No question, chok velo yavor, it can't be missed. That is on our schedule, plugged in every single day. But that same Torah that you're being mevaer when you learn has to also feel like a be'er. It has to feel like a wellspring of new knowledge. It has to feel like an exciting time for you. It has to feel something you enjoy and you look forward to every single day. And for that, you need to have the kava koveim nefesh. You have to steal those moments of learning. You have to find the extra times to rejuvenate, to re-excite yourself about the Talmud Torah, because without that, it does become stale. It does begin to decay. So we spoke about a few themes in Kviyas Yitim LaTorah. First of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands not only learning intellectually, but it demands a relationship from us. He wants us to meet with him. He wants us to have a personal, deep, intimate connection with him through Talmud Torah. That's accomplished not by learning with our brains, cerebral learning. That's accomplished by committing to set times a day for lack of a better term, date nights and date mornings with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To spend time getting to know him, capital H, a little bit better. To use the Talmud Torah as a vehicle through which we create a relationship with the Ribono Shalom, that's the idea of Kviyas Yitim LaTorah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik taught us. And part of the goal of doing that, and part of the result of doing that, is the fact that Talmud Torah begins to frame our day. Asei Torah Keva. It seems like an impossible thing to make Torah your main staple, to make Torah your main job. I have a full-time job. What does that mean, Torah is my main job? The answer is that if we sandwich our day, if we frame our day with Torah, then everything contained within is framed by that context. Everything is informed by and infused with Talmud Torah, and our keva, our kvius, becomes Torah. Our main nature, our main character, our definitive nature is defined, is qualitatively known as Torah. Asei Torah Sakeva, that was the second theme we discussed. Additionally, you have to find those extra times to learn, and that's going to revitalize everything. You steal a little bit of time for learning, like the Baal HaTanya stole those hours from his Rebbe. You steal the time for learning. You're in the car, you're on foot, you're early to shul. You find a few moments to learn. You catch another shir 1 week just to spice it up, just to make it a little bit more exciting, just to get yourself reinvigorated about Talmud Torah, to add that vibrancy to your learning. That changes the nature of all the learning a person does throughout the course of their life, to add that chiddush, to add that novelty, that excitement, that new excitement to the Talmud Torah. And as Rav Lipiansky explained to us, Ho'el Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah Azos. It's specifically when we're good at kvius. It's specifically when we start to feel the stability, when we start to feel the regularity of Talmud Torah, that we need to stop and think, how do we rejuvenate? How do we reinvigorate? How do we add vibrancy to our learning? Wittenberg asked me to talk about the Talmud Torah, but this is all true. This could all be said if you just inserted the word tshuva over here. Tshuva is a mitzvah that we focus on during the month of Elul. Absolutely, 100%. This is the time where we're focusing on tshuva. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're going to clap al chet. We're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to forgive us. This is the time of year to focus on that. But tshuva is a mitzvah all year round. We're constantly demanded to make a cheshbon nefesh, to assess how we're living our lives, to try to see what our commitments are, what our priorities are, what our values are. And a person has to find the time during the day, every day, to sit and think, what have I done well? What have I done less than well? And try to do tshuva on the good and on the bad that a person is doing every day of their life. But we need an Elul in the beginning of the year, and we need an Elul as we're looking back on the previous year to reflect and to frame the context of the rest of our year. Our entire year is tshuva. Tshuva is keva. It's part of us. But an Elul reminds us of those moments throughout the rest of the year. And the truth is, what we spoke about directly helps with this as well. Because if a person frames their day with Torah, if they're going to a shir in the morning, they're going to a shir in the evening, and everything in between is just the meat to the sandwich, then it's defined by the Talmud Torah. And a person lives a life of Torah, as we explained before, and a life of excited, informed, vibrant Torah, then it's a lot harder to find time to do averus. Our Elul will become a lot lighter of a schedule in terms of tshuva, because we're living lives of Torah. We're living lives that are informed by and dedicated to and framed by, contextualized by, the Torah and mitzvos. So as we head through Elul and we march towards Rosh Hashanah, let's think about these themes in Torah and in tshuva. Let's think about how we could find those set times to frame our day. Talk to Rabbi Wittenberg. Ask for help. You don't have to think of it on your own. How do you find the best use of 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour? How do you find the best way to find 2 times a day to sit and learn? You need guidance in that, so you should ask for guidance in that. But let's all find the extra time that we can commit to learning in such a way that we're deepening our relationship with Hashem, that we're framing our entire day around the context of Talmud Torah. And through that, b'siyat d'shmai, we should be zocha. We should merit a wonderful season of tshuva with tremendous amount of forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a year in the future which doesn't need as much forgiveness because our lives are so full of a kviyas of Torah that we act in a way totally consistent with avodas Hashem, shmiras Torah, and mitzvot. It was a pleasure speaking with you all. Everyone have a wonderful day.